All right, Cole, what are you doing this time?
Well, Gary, welcome to the record store.
Oh, I love the record store.
Yeah. I've been thinking about getting into vinyl a little bit. I've been looking at some turntables. I have an antique Victrola cabinet that like belonged to my grandma's parents or my grandma's grandparents, something like that. Obviously, the inside of it doesn't work, but I've been thinking about converting it into a hi-fi cabinet.
Nice.
You know?
Yeah.
It'd be kind of neat. So I've just been thinking about vinyl stuff, so I wanted to come over here, and I found a cool section. This is past their prime.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So bread?
Bread was stale when it came out.
There's a reason why biscuit magic flour hour.
It's a reason why it's a joke on The Simpsons. Yeah. But you know, after a band's initial run, if you know one or two of them dies, they always kind of reform. You go from Creedence Clearwater Revival to Creedence Clearwater Revisited, right? Mm-hmm. I just figured we would take a look here at a bunch of these zombie acts and pull them along.
Sadly, including the Zombies, a band I really love, but features, I think, two original members.
Maybe, yeah.
Todd Rundgren is the glue that fills in almost all of these things.
Yep.
Like the New Cars.
Uh-huh.
Which is somehow a way worse band name than the Cars.
A little bit, yeah.
The New Cars just feels very embarrassing to me.
Don't call it the New Cars. Call it the Used Cars. Come on.
They were going for something more new and fresh, like you might get with Todd Rundgren.
Yeah, like you do, or like with a certain caliber of band, you get Michael McDonald coming in, and being a supporting character for an arc. Yeah,
yeah. The New Cars sounds like a band that like would show up in the Jetsons or something. You know, it's got like a real retro futuristic name of a band. Like it would be one of the developers who made Guitar Hero. It'd be their band. They included on the Guitar Hero thing, like the Factory to Dealer Incentives band.
Yeah, Honest Bob and the Factory to Dealer Incentive. Yeah.
Yeah. Which, like, I remember not being so bad, but then when I found out it was one of the devs, I got real embarrassed for him.
A little bit, yeah. That was a good song that they had on there. Yeah.
It's not horrible. Like, mm-hmm. It's fine. It is also, but man. Anywho, we're in the has-been section. We're in the sad dad section.
Gonna reach in here and pull out one of these. Oh, okay. So Earth, Wind, and Fire, after they did their thing, they had a lineup change. They started adding more people. They kind of got into a polyphonic spree kind of deal. They added a fourth, they had Earth, Wind, Fire, and then Water. And then they decided, hey, we're going to do even more. Then they added a fifth element. It's love.
Heart.
Yeah. Heart.
Heart. Love. A game computer.
Yeah, there we go. The fifth element.
Beep boop.
Uh-oh.
Sure. Gary Butterfield.
This is Cole Ross.
And welcome to Abject Suffering doesn't seem so smart to me.
Nope.
I am prepared to be, I bet you this movie has received a huge critical reevaluation and I'm going to be yelled at for hating it.
It kind of seems like one of those things. It kind of seems like, I think maybe it's been through a couple of cycles. I think that it got the Speed Racer 2008 treatment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's loud. Like anything that's loud.
Yeah.
Gets a re-eval.
Yeah.
And I saw this when it came out.
Okay.
I thought it was real stupid. And then I watched trailers for it. And I was like reading about it because I hadn't thought about the fifth element in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the biggest thing to me is I think these are the worst character and costume designs in movies.
But Gary,
Lilo, her costume in this
mm-hmm.
is the worst looking costume I think that's ever been in a movie.
Yeah, yeah. It somehow. ends up being not sexy, even though they like attempted. That's obviously the intent. Like, here's a basically naked Mila Jovovich.
No matter how naked this Mila Jovovich is. I mean, first of all, you get to see full crotch in Resident Evil.
Mm-hmm.
You get actual naked Mila Jovovich. But this is, it's boner retardant.
No.
Like, it is anti-horny to me. And I don't like things that are horny. But yeah. I don't like, what I like less than that is things that are trying to make me horny, but just look like a part of a nurse's outfit or something.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
so ugly.
It's a little bit like a vacation casual version of a BDSM harness to a certain degree.
Yeah.
You know,
like a linen, yeah. like a sun, yeah. sun suit, like it's something in the Southern lawyers BDSM outfit.
Yep. Just a real breezy linen harness, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Like that Eden, East of Eden movie or whatever with Dan Aykroyd and Rosie O'Donnell where they play BDSM superstars. But man, is it just hard to look at.
Uh-huh. But Gary, Gary, yeah. it's impossible for it to be bad because it's pronounced. It's extreme. And anything that yeah. has its own identity as much as this is, it can't be bad.
Yeah. I no longer judge things. I'm that character from that Dean Koontz novel. I no longer judge things based on their quality. I just judge them based on how far away from the norm they are.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter what direction. It's just if it's loud,
yeah.
it's great.
And nothing's louder than Chris Tucker playing Ruby Rod or Road.
Ruby Rod.
Ruby Rod.
Like the New York Times called him that year's best special effect or something like that. He's extremely hard to watch in this movie.
Hard
as well.
To listen to as well.
Yeah. Yeah. The trailer for this was deeply irritating because the first half of it, it's a 2.5 minute trailer, and the first half of it is just lore.
Mm-hmm.
It's like scientists explain to each other about like the end of the world.
Yeah.
And then it gets real wacky about the 90s Bruce Willis, like every day. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, he always played this everyman.
Yeah.
He couldn't just be after Die Hard. He couldn't be an action star anymore. He had to be a Hudson Hawk.
Yes.
You know, he had to be like, I'm just a regular guy, but who gets drawn into this stuff.
Mm-hmm. I'm retired from being a cop, I think.
Yeah.
And you don't forget that his name is Corbin Dallas because Chris Tucker screams it for the entire movie. It's funny, you know, like Chris Tucker, not unlikable in Rush Hour or Jackie Brown, you know, like he's been
sure.
Friday. Yeah. Right. You
yeah.
know,
like just, he does a thing and it's got its place.
It's got its place forever and always. I associate him with this. He is yeah. in this costume doing this exact performance, just basically saying the name Corbin Dallas like he's a Pokemon. Yeah,
like, just screeching and screeching like, the nonstop audio assault.
Mm-hmm.
So it's weird that like blonde Bruce Willis is the least offensive part of this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Or he's just a guy, like he sucks and he's just like, oh, I'm just Gabby, you know, he's doing his Bruce Willis thing.
Yeah,
but he's not so aggressively unpleasant.
Mm-hmm.
As the rest of the movie, the shitty Muppet aliens,
yeah,
in this,
I forgot about and those
then, yeah, you know, and then the movie, like when I saw it, I remember like being super pissed because I was like, oh, the fifth element is love.
Oh, that's like, that's a joke answer. Like if I was writing
that's
a joke about,
answer,
yeah.
Yeah. And then found out the dude who made it, I was reading about it, and it's like a story that he started when he was like 13.
So,
or something like that.
This is a kind
16.
Of, yeah. This is a kind of movie that is not made anymore. This was directed by Luc Besson, which yep. you hear that name and you hear that he's a film director from France, and you think, oh, he probably has some sex crime allegations against him. Sorry, oh. France, but your directors. Anyway,
I didn't know about that until now. I probably should have checked him for rape allegation in Wikipedia because, you know, that just kind of happens.
You know, just kind of happens there. So this is a kind of movie that just isn't made anymore, and it's a little funny when people are like, "Oh, all that gets made anymore is Marvel movies, etc." Like, first off, okay, whatever. But also, some of the stuff that we're being spared is this.
This is the kind of thing that gets you Valerian City of a Thousand Planets.
Pretty much exactly. And I'm sure that when yeah. Valerian City of a Thousand Planets came out, that was when there was the reevaluation collection on the Fifth Element, I guarantee you, like, there were people who wanted to say, oh, this is the best sci-fi movie since Jupiter Ascending.
There's an accusation, like, whenever, you know, this kind of thing, because this kind of thing has happened a lot, has been in the news because of the new Matrix movie.
Yeah. Right?
Because those sequels are very primo, like, what I don't like about the critical reevaluation of things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just because I'm like, oh, we shouldn't reevaluate.
Mm-hmm.
It just feels like this weird, like, trying on, like, what if this was good as a costume almost to me? Like, these things don't stand up to the reevaluation in my honest assessment.
Yeah.
It's not like I just think that they're damned and they can't be thought of in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, these things are still trash. Like, this is really bad.
Yeah.
And the curve, I don't have very much patience for the, at least this is slightly different as a marker of quality.
I think we
can demand more than that. I think it's really insulting to a billion different indie and small filmmakers.
Yeah.
Like, when people are like, people don't want to have something that is not a Marvel movie. They want something that is very, very big budget that is not a Marvel movie, because we have indie, you know, filmmakers, and we have people in the horror space and all of these things happening that are not, you know, the mainstream at all. They never stopped happening.
Mm-hmm.
And when people are just like, oh, thank God for Valerian of a Thousand Planets, it just feels like, man, like, or do you seek out anything?
Mm-hmm.
Are you just upset because you just see commercials for Marvel movies?
Yeah.
Star Wars movies?
Are you just picking the movies that you're going to watch based on what floats by? Like,
yeah, you do a little bit of work and there's so much out there, you know?
Oh my gosh.
It just feels very insulting to me.
Yeah.
To be like, well, at least this is different.
Yeah.
Like, man, Primer happens. There's so many tons of weird low budget sci-fi movies that are super cool.
Watch a fucking Moorhead and Benson movie. Something in the Dirt's amazing. You know,
there's all kinds of shit.
Yeah.
Like, even any individual flavor that you don't like, you don't have to grade on a huge Jupiter Ascending on a huge curve.
Yeah.
Because it's different.
And I've taken shots at the Wachowskis a lot with Jupiter Ascending and Speed Racer, but it is absolutely this kind of thing. So Luc Besson saying that he was something that he had since 16. Do you get real Crystal Ships energy off of this?
It's pretty Crystal Ships. The aliens known as the Mondo Shawans, and his original character, who's named, what is it? Corbin Dallas. He's really named Zaltman Bleros. Lilo, the sand girl with the beauty of youth, despite being 2000 years old.
Yep.
It's incredibly Crystal Ships.
Yep. You know, what if she just speaks like Nell? What if she just speaks in whistles and oohs?
Yep. It's, the character named Satrax who drives the flying taxi cab. Like, all of this stuff is deeply embarrassing to me.
Yeah.
Just seems, again, just kind of bad. Like, you know,
yeah.
I do not get.
I didn't watch this movie in theaters. I watched it just as a teenager, just looking for movies that had a boob in them. You know,
sure,
kind of deal. Yeah, which like weirdly gets you to watch like a lot of sci-fi. Like, it was that quest that led me to like Blade Runner and to Logan's Run, you know?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Total Recall, man.
Yep. Precisely.
That three T scrote.
Yep.
I got triple tits.
You're going to need to speak up.
Make me wish I had three hands.
Yeah. Apparently that was really traumatic for that woman. She did not like being in that scene.
It sounds really horrible.
Yeah. Oh man. So yeah, I'm positive that there is a Fifth Element a reevaluation that has happened at least three or four times, but I cannot brook a Lilo. I cannot brook everybody. Just everybody looking like they've just been misted with just like a fine mixture of like old Gatorade and Vaseline. You know,
Gary Oldman in this movie, man. Oof. The wax statue they got to play Gary Oldman's character in this.
The soul gross. Patch. The fucking soul patch that Gary Oldman has.
Soul patch is goth Dean haircut.
Yeah.
And then the video game, which to me feels like it's very similar to the Die Hard trilogy game.
Yeah.
And it feels a lot like it feels like a demake to me. of something made now. Like, it feels like a stunt remake.
Yeah. This, like, in the hands, this makes Siphon Filter feel like Metal Gear Solid 5.
Yeah. it's real shitty Siphon Filter from the developers of Nightmare Creatures.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it makes a kind of sense.
Yeah.
There.
Ugh. I remember, yeah. Didn't we kind of like Nightmare Creatures? Was that one of the ones that was like, oh, this might actually be okay?
It doesn't play super good. It's just kind of cool and atmospheric.
Gotcha.
It's in terms of the abject suffering curve,
mm-hmm.
it's got some cool stuff in it.
Yeah.
More than this does. In this one, in the game, Corbin Dallas, the cabbie, has to break Lilo out in the first mission rather than her jumping out of a building and landing on his cab.
It's a pretty big change, actually.
Secret agent cabbie.
Yeah, maybe have me start playing as Lilo as she breaks out and jumps out the window, and then we start that. Ugh.
Yeah, it would make sense. The other thing this game does as a video game that drives me nuts is that your characters have shields, mm-hmm. kinda. So when you get hit, it just has this little shield effect, and it makes every enemy, even the very first enemies you run into, like super tanky.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it takes tons of bullets to kill a dude.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you round a corner, there's a fat man there, and you have to shoot him, like, 10 times.
Yeah.
And it's the first enemy you run into in the game.
And you can't really aim, and there's nothing you can do if somebody decides to start shooting you. So if you really enjoy navigating somebody around with tank controls that are slower than Resident Evil, actually, you turn like a cruise ship in this.
It's trash.
Yeah.
It's trash front to back. Mm-hmm. Like, everything about it is trash to me.
Yeah. I just, I got beat to death by a scientist because I couldn't get enough space between me and him to get shots off. And I said, no more. I'm not going to play as Lilo. I kind of don't care if her play is slightly different. Although I looked at the tutorial, apparently hers has like a lot of like balance beam sections and 3D platforming. So fuck that as well.
I'm sure that's great with these tank controls. And she does a combination of melee and grenades, that classic combo.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Just Herangulon.
Yeah.
I thought for a second you were going to play as Ruby Rod when you started it, because he does the little stage select thing. And I was like, oh shit. Like, am I going to be the game show host or whatever he is in this?
I think he's the cool. Does he tell people where the running man is?
I think it's basically Who Do You Love. Like, it that's most of what he does.
Yeah.
His first role was uncredited in Meteor Man.
What the fuck is Meteor Man?
Oh, you don't know what Meteor Man is?
No, I don't know Meteor Man.
Robert Townsend superhero movie about a black superhero. And I only say that because that was a big deal at the time when it came out.
Right.
That was the selling point. Meteor Man.
Huh. Who is, No, I have not, I've not seen, is this, so Townsend's directed this, the 18th century guy?
18th century guy. Do you mean he traveled through time?
No. The one who does cooking. He makes hardtack.
Oh, no. Robert Townsend.
Oh, you're talking about the director of BAPS. Okay.
Yes. I'm talking about BAPSman. BAPSman Begins. It'd be incredible if Townsend directed it.
Yeah.
Like, just, he decided to get into African-American superheroes after 18th century cooking has run its course.
Yeah. Well, one naturally segues into the other.
Yeah. Yeah. I would love to have the arc where Townsend finds, like, a meteor. You know?
just like all of a sudden the recipes start getting real weird as he starts pulling in crops. Yeah
just like,
okay,
animals, new crops and stuff, and
you're gonna get at least spices. 4 to 6 legs off of any of the rabbits that you're gonna skin, and you're gonna want to make sure that you use a real hard knife, because the carapace, and once you get it started, it's fine, but getting in there is pretty rough. It's like a coconut.
Like, somebody's replaced all of his nutmeg things that he grinds up with, like, glands, you know, from these creatures or plants or both, you know, he's just sprinkling that stuff. Have you been watching any of the collaborations between Joe Pera?
No, John, I haven't.
Townsend? It's real great. It's a really good match. And then Joe Pera will be like, can I ask you a question? And then he'll be like, sure. You know, he's kind of impatient with Joe.
Okay.
It's weird. And he's just like, do you like this spice more than you like nutmeg? And he'll be like, well, nutmeg's very good. I mean, but this doesn't call for it. Like, he's kind of not dealing with it. It's very funny.
So he's taking the joke and then making it into not a joke. It's like, oh, you know, nutmeg doesn't really work in a savory dish. You know, it's situational.
He doesn't really think it's a joke. He's kind of weirdly humorless throughout it. It's he wants to concentrate on how good, these weird hen pies they're making are.
Yeah.
And anything that's not about that, he doesn't have that much patience for.
Not at all.
Yeah. Oh man.
Yeah, have not seen that.
Yeah. It's I remember seeing The Fifth Element and it being sold to me. I had a friend named Eric who had me watch it, and he was just like, "No, this is real good." And mm-hmm. it was one of my earliest experiences of having that, like, somebody recommends something to you and you watch it with them and it's a 90-minute death march of you just not laughing or hooting when they laugh or hoot.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, one of the worst feelings in the world. Like, if you could bottle it and then, you know, crop dust it over war-torn countries and destroy them,
mm-hmm.
you know?
I'm real sick of these war-torn countries walking around strutting their stuff on me. I want
to. I was trying to think of an enemy country,
yeah.
but I realized that America has no just wars, so I couldn't name any country that deserved this.
Yep.
And then I was going to say we could just crop dust it over America, and then I was uh-huh. like, that's weird because I don't want to get hit by this stuff. So I just didn't really know what to say.
Right. You know, when somebody does that, oftentimes they will look at you while you're watching.
Yes,
to see your reaction, and it feels a little bit like, hey, do you want me to have like a fucking knob that I turn when I like stuff, so you know, like, yep. stop looking at me.
Yep, I'll scratch your back when it's good.
Yeah,
and you know, yeah, it's pretty tough, pretty tough stuff.
So your friend was like, hey, let's go to the movie theater and see this movie that I love.
It's on VHS. Like, he's like, hey, I rented it. I love this. It's on the theater. He was also the friend who would not accept that I didn't like James Bond movies.
Oh, huh.
Like, I would be over there and he would, like, without talking, he would like throw on a Bond movie.
Ugh.
And it would just be, I was like, I don't watch this. You want to play Mortal Kombat or something? Like, what are we doing? And he'd be like, no, check this out. And it would be so fucking boring.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, as a teenager, it's the most boring shit in the world.
Mm-hmm. It was real slow. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of him, like, get missions, driving places, checking into hotels.
Oh, man. Like, when somebody doesn't believe you that you just don't like something. Ugh.
It's the worst. I feel really good that either I have done something with my personality, and haters will say I'm less pleasant, or I've just surrounded myself with different people now, but that doesn't happen to me anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that used to happen to me all the time between the ages of like 13 and 22.
What do you mean you don't like? Of course you like. Yeah.
Nonstop. Like my buddy who played every Residents album for me, every single one was like the one that was going to unlock the band for me.
Oh no. Just understand we're like, that's not going to happen. Like there's other stuff we have in common. Don't push it.
Yeah. I don't know what kind of weird geese you're under to get me to like this. Like, I like lots of stuff that you like,
mm-hmm.
you know, I know that you want to share your joy. That is the best case scenario for this.
Yes. But once you're rebuffed, let's say two or three times, then you should get it. Then you should know.
It's a courtesy thing too. I was always frustrated by it because I make a point of not doing that to people.
Right.
You know, not to virtue signal too much, but like, if I'm very hesitant to recommend things to people in general,
mm-hmm.
but if somebody's like, I don't really like this, that's my cue to fuck off.
Uh-huh.
Like, I'm just like, yeah, this is okay. I'm going to listen to you,
mm-hmm.
you know? And it sounds like I'm bragging, but all it really is just like, I'm considering your opinion that you told me that you have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's real.
I'll believe you. I'm not going to try and, gerrymander around it. I'm not going to poke at it and, you know, try and get you in a Phoenix Wright contradiction.
Yeah. Yeah. This defense will stand. You know, I have nothing personally invested in getting you into this.
And again, there's other stuff that I know, like there's other stuff that we have in common. So like we can watch and talk about that. It doesn't need to be this like confrontational thing. So my version of your Fifth Element friend, I had a friend that I, you know, just one of those buddies that you have like in late elementary school, early middle school. I had a buddy who was real into there were two of them. He was like, you got to watch the movie Gattaca. had a Gattaca friend. This was the same friend who just really like over the course of like a night, like you were gonna have a sleepover, I really want you to watch the sci-fi series version of Dune.
Oh.
We watched all of it and it's like they're reusing so much fucking footage, they're covering so much ground, this is not meant to be watched this way.
Yeah.
So yeah, it wasn't even the fun fun goofy version of Dune, the David Lynch one. It was the sci-fi one.
Ugh. Gattaca is another version of one of these movies that like we're thankfully missing.
Yes.
You know, I remember watching Gattaca. I remember very little about it, but the idea of chomping at the bit for a Gattaca like is very strange to me.
I need that chemistry between Ethan Hawke and Uma Thurman.
Gattaca. There's a bunch of Game Fact stuff on this. Lots of reviews. The one that I singled out was, I liked this game, but they didn't have to blur out Mila Jovovich's Hooters.
Yep.
That begins with beginning statement.
Beginning statement. Anecdote. Thesis statement. Witty. Witty transition. Yeah. Oh my god. Yeah, I also singled out that one by that guy who gives it a way too good of a review. He gives it an 8. This movie and this game are not they're not worth you defending. This game features no computer generated scenes. Instead, there is actual footage from the motion picture, and I thought that was pretty good, except for the fact that they blurred out Mila Jovovich's boobs. I'm happy. He said
restart this PlayStation game over and over, watch the PlayStation boot up, just to see this boob shot.
Yeah, just God, Hooters. Don't say the word Hooters. That guy.
Hooters,
come on.
Is rough, man. When it comes to terms for Tid. Hooters bad.
Yeah.
What worse is Milker?
I've heard Milkers. That makes me uncomfortable.
It's too mechanical.
It's too mechanical, and also it is like anything that is like, I like you because you're mommy, kind of really icks me out a little bit.
The fact that these things create milk is something that I accept it. It's great. You know, but I also, I'm not, it doesn't cross over into my sexual sphere at all.
No, it is a fact about them. And it's not for me, you know,
it's like how, if it, like most people, if you're sucking dick, you're not thinking about it producing pee.
Right. Yeah.
I'm not comparing milk to pee. I'm just saying it's a non-sexual fluid. Not a kink shame, I guess, but like,
yeah, whatever.
It takes
all sorts. Like if somebody drops a line up, you know, like, oh, you'd really get trying to get me to appreciate some milkers that are in view. It breaks propriety. I'm trying to find a way to say, but basically it just breaks propriety. That is in bad taste.
Yeah. It's uncouth.
Yeah.
It seems gormless.
Yeah.
It's like, it reminds me of shitter, which is one of my least favorite
terms. Or just like, dumper. Like, oh, look at the dumper on her. Like, again,
every once in a while they'll show up in a porn or something and I'm like, ugh.
Yeah.
Close window.
Yeah. I don't know.
No, thanks.
What's wrong with ass? What's wrong with tits?
Yeah.
You know,
what's wrong with tits? Tits rack.
Yeah.
I kind of enjoy rack.
Rack is, yeah.
It's nice and neutral, and it's useful. It sounds very utilitarian.
A little objectifying. All of it is. But just like, oh, a rack. Like I would buy at Home Depot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bust. bosom.
That gets a little really bit too, that gets too clinical. I would never seriously refer to something as bosom unless I was doing like a, like doing a bit of a, like a parody of like a letter that somebody wrote home from the Civil War.
Civil War. Yeah. Like I long to be in the plantation's bosom again.
Yeah. To be, you know, the embrace of the bosom or what have you.
Yeah. I will talk about bosom in a cuddly sense. I've never like deploy your bosom onto my tongue.
Yeah, that's
like that. Like,
yeah,
it's like how a robot might have sex.
It's one of those conversations, you know, when if you're with somebody new, you have to you got to make sure that you're not going to say any nomenclature that's going to bother them.
Yeah,
been with some ladies that didn't like it being called a pussy. You know.
Yeah. You know, which is tough because that I find that is even more difficult to find a word that doesn't,
yeah,
you know, break propriety, that doesn't just kind of like take me out of the moment
a little bit. Yeah. You know, again, because you either go like either more clinical or you go like
absolutely uncle style.
Yeah. Just like
you're real, ordering a horrible burger from In-N-Out.
Real depraved. Yeah. And that takes me out of it. Yeah,
double uncle style. You know, spread that double uncle style for me and allow me to come home to roost on the milker.
Yeah, like, no,
you can get real, like almost Akewood, but like dark Akewood. It's, you know, language is fun, but.
You know, but sometimes, you know, you can go too far. You can start calling kissing oralingus, you know?
Yeah. Lipolingus or something like that. It's gross.
Unnecessary. Yeah. Unnecessary.
Yeah. Super unnecessary. I have an anecdote that I'm saving for next episode.
Okay.
But we have some time to kill. I was going to ask, do you have anything for next episode? Should I save it?
I think you should save it.
This is a Patreon episode, so I can just say this stuff out loud.
Yeah. No, I think you should save it for the next one, because I don't have I've got things in the works that I could talk about, but I'm not ready. I have not done them yet, so I cannot talk about them.
Interesting.
Yeah.
He's running, folks.
What's that?
He's running. Like those whenever like a politician.
Oh yeah. Okay. It's like, oh, you like, yeah. But I can't say it. You know the answer. But yeah. No, that's no. I just said it. Just if I said, ooh, this is my plan. That's not really that interesting if I have not done it yet. So.
Sure. Yeah. And when I say anecdote, I'm really overstating it.
No. But on the next one, we're going to need all we can get. I like the so there's a way too long game facts for this. Ooh, let me see.
Yes.
Real quick. Let me do a print screen on this bad boy. 101 printed pages.
Oh yeah. I print out this novella.
Yeah. But I like the acknowledgement / thanks at the end, where he refers to somebody named Psycho Mog for cheering on the sidelines, despite saying that the game was of no interest to him.
Aw.
Yeah, he's a well-wisher in that he technically doesn't wish me any harm.
Yeah. He also thinks Luke Besson hasn't gone back to edit that.
Nope.
So not a great look.
No. You had time. You know?
Yeah.
You had time three times.
Yeah. Luke Besson. Mm. I was looking at Luke Besson's other film work.
Yeah.
And he does a movie, one of his more recent movies, is called so he did Valerian, City of a Thousand Planets.
Oh, that's why I pulled that example. Yeah. He also did Lucy, which
but he also did something called Arthur III, The War of Two Worlds. And when I saw that first, I thought it was the Dudley Moore.
Yeah.
Arthur.
Yeah.
And I was way into it. I was like, Arthur III, the War of Two Worlds.
Oh, please.
How about that? Itinerant drunk?
Sign me up. Yeah.
But it's a CG movie about some little like weird troll things.
Yeah, it's about some borrowers.
Lithanel.
Gary, look who plays Emperor Maltazard.
Let me find Emperor. Oh, hey.
Hey, it's Lou Reed.
Surprising.
What the fuck is going on? We have Mia Farrow as Granny Daisy Suchote. We have Iggy Pop as Darkos replacing Jason Bateman. We have Iggy Pop replacing Jason Bateman.
I don't even know what kind of move that is. I never really thought to look up Lou Reed's filmography.
Yeah. I bet you there's a
David
lot of like
Gasman as the King, Bogo Chief, and additional voices.
Oh my gosh.
Deputy Sheriff Simon Suchut. This looks great.
Wow.
I'm gonna watch all the Arthur movies. man, he did the animated that's not the animated. We did do Leon the Professional.
Okay.
The Messenger Joan of Arc. This is like a bunch of my least favorite movies. This dude made. I hate all this shit.
Yeah, pretty bad. No, thank you.
Arthur and the Invisibles was in English, and then the later the sequels only came out in France. So we got Arthur and the Invisibles, which has Jimmy Fallon, Snoop Dogg, Robert De Niro, and David Bowie as Emperor Malazard.
God damn it!
It was David Bowie in the first one, and then they got Lou Reed.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck, man?
Wait a minute, there are more Arthur. So it's Arthur III, The War of Two Worlds. But the French poster, at least here on Wikipedia, at the top it says Le Final.
I love Le Final.
Yeah,
Le Bowie. It's so weird that this had Lou Reed, Iggy Pop, and David Bowie in it.
Yeah,
like as a series.
How much?
I associate Bowie doing shit like this.
Yeah, I guess.
You know, he usually did like a bunch of art movies and stuff. Mm-hmm.
Generally. No, but then he was in. Did Zoolander? I think. I think that anybody who's born in Britain ends up kind of taking a bit of a like, oh, it's a paycheck kind of thing. I'm working.
Yeah,
I'm working
His
here.
Royal
Come
Highness
on.
And SpongeBob's Atlantis.
Yeah.
SquarePantis. He was originally going to be the villain in Blade Runner 2049. That's interesting.
Oh, really? Huh.
Yeah. Huh. And he was going to be in Twin Peaks: The Return.
Oh yeah, but then he was sick, so they couldn't get him back, which is wild because of the number of people who were like terminally ill and in their very last days when they sent a camera there to shoot them, you know?
Yeah.
No, they end up recasting him. It's real bizarre what they end up doing in Twin Peaks: The Return, because like they have his character come back. His character is a major, you know, it's a very small role by like amount of screen time in Fire Walk With Me, but it's super important. And they had to hire like a voice double, and what ends up happening physically with him is real bizarre. Sorry.
I watched the commercial he filmed for XM Satellite Radio with Snoop Dogg.
Oh, no. No, you don't.
Hello, I'm David Bowie. And I'm Snoop Dogg. And we're here to talk to you about XM Satellite Radio.
We're going to keep on sending you offers, aren't we? You know?
Yes. Oh, God. We is.
Yeah.
For Rizzle.
Snoop Dogg. Every single day, you will get an envelope from a Sirius Satellite Radio. Any apartment that you move to. We're going to keep on sending these things there. So you're going to get maybe three or four different people's Sirius XM offers. Yeah. Why not?
Yeah. I told you before that Snoop Dogg's uncle owned a rib place in Portland that got burned down as a hate crime, right?
No, that's awful.
Yeah. I've never been there, but there's a place called Rio's Ribs, which like advertised itself as being Snoop Dogg's uncle. There's a picture of Snoop Dogg on the front. It got burned down. And they investigated it as a hate crime.
Huh.
So, yeah, big bummer.
That is a bummer.
On that note. Yeah. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We appreciate you.
Mm-hmm.
We will we'll see you next time.
Thanks for supporting us. Yeah, you've done the good stuff by supporting us already. It would not make sense to ask you to do more. Go check out the other bonus content that you have available to you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what do they do until next time?
Until next time, I don't know. Don't star in Arthur 4.
Yeah. Or in Ruby Rod Origins or whatever.
Yeah.
Like whenever this inevitably gets a redemption comeback.
Ugh.